This is an ABC podcast.
Roots and Shoots with Amber and Sabrina on ABC Radio Perth.
Woo! 102.5. I had the wrong opening. That's Sabrina. Welcome to this edition of The Shoots and Roots. We were just talking about fungus.
I know. And I love that book.
Yes.
It is so accessible for everyone, and it puts the ecological wheel in a really fun way, easy to navigate. It's brilliant. Anyone who is into gardening has to get this book, because without fungi, we don't have a planet.
Yeah, as she said.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's a cracker. It's great, you know, if you've got kids at school doing science. I'm impressed. And it's durable.
It is durable. It's
spiral-bound. Yeah, you can take this outside.
It looks almost waterproof, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, it'd be good in your basket.
Yep.
And I think we should all get on board with the iNaturalist on Fungi Day, which is coming up on the 1st of July. Get out there, spot the fungi, take a picture of it from the top, from the side, upside down, so that we can have a fungi map of Australia. And as she said, you know, we're such a long way away from the rest of the country. Things are different.
We have very different. We have very different fungi, and even our plant species require different fungi. It's a marvelous world out there. Do you know what? I think we are just on the edge of discovery.
We are. And Lisa is too. She's growing something very interesting.
What are you growing, Lisa?
I'm growing saffron.
Yay! My favourite little food source it is.
Are they a crocus?
Yeah.
Oh, my lordy.
How exciting.
It is exciting.
What can Sabrina help you with your crocus?
I could eat it for you.
I'm probably only growing enough for a paella. I'd love to be able to grow some more. But I just sort of started like as a sample size. And what I'm trying to figure out is that because we have such hot and intense summers, even down at this end of the world, what to do once the corm, you know, once the sprouting has disappeared, and how to protect the corm. I can't really find much information from an West Australian experience.
No.
But I just wanted to see if anybody out there knows.
Yeah, the big problem is it not only is it stinking hot, it's usually stinkingly dry. And the bulb kind of disappears in the ground. Now, there was, and I don't know if she was around the Bridgetown area, there was a woman that actually put in a quarter of an acre.
Possibly down in Pemberton?
Yeah, Pemberton it was.
Those mixed up all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's because
Manjis and your Pembos and your Bridges.
Beautiful soil and cool climate. But I, you know what, I would lift them.
Okay, take them out and then replant. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that's quite easy to do.
Yeah. I mean, even Bridgetown gets hot in summer. It's the dry, like the soil just sucks. Once the soil dries out, any moisture left in that bulb, gone.
Yeah, and then I found that we replanted some from last year.
Yeah.
But we put them in later this year rather than at the time that was recommended.
Right.
And they produced much better sprouting.
I think that's going to be the way to go.
Yeah.
Let us know how you're going.
I'd love the fact that you're giving it a go.
Photographs of the paella.
I'd like to grow more.
Yeah.
Good on you, Lisa. Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much.
1300 221 0025 is the number. Sam in Gerro. Yeah. How are the boys?
Oh, beautiful, Sam.
Morning, ladies. As you can tell, my voice is a little bit croaky because we're all just at the back end of a bit of a cold, flu-y thing that's been going around at the moment. I mean, Roger's still full of energy and he's running us off our feet at the moment.
You know, the worst part about being sick is if you have small children, because they just don't slow down, Sam, do they? They just want to keep on going.
As I've been told by my... Oh, have time to get sick, but it still happens anyway.
Oh. Yeah. Well, anyway, it'll be a passing thing.
Yeah, exactly. Now I've got a question about a lime tree.
Yeah.
I planted one a couple of years ago. And this year is the first year I've had a massive crop on it.
Yep.
I've had more than I know what to do with, but the leaves on it seem to be going a bit off and the fruit is really reduced in size.
Yeah.
So should I just kind of cut off all the fresh buds off it?
Yeah.
To put the growth back into the actual plant?
Definitely, Sam. It's under stress. So, you know, the thing about limes is once they decide to actually bless you with fruit, they put out so much, and then all those, you know, the energy comes from the leaves and the rest of the growth of the tree. So I would definitely do that. Just take those buds off, yeah.
Good luck,
Sam. You could get the kids to do it.
Yeah, Sam, you know that there's a tax every time you call. You've got to send a photo through of the boys.
Yeah.
We are the aunties, after all. Mm-hmm. Your gardening aunties. Sam, thank you for that. 1-300-221-025 is the number. Hello, Sue in Greenwood.
Oh, hi. Hello, girls. How are you all?
Yeah, good, Sue.
This is to do with black cockatoos.
Yes.
Red-tailed ones. That's what we're getting in our yard.
Right.
Believe it or not, there's a gentleman behind us who have a massive olive tree.
Yeah.
And for the last 2-3 weeks, they've been feasting on the olives.
Yeah, so the red-tailed black cockatoos are far less fussy about what they will eat. What amount of energy or protein they get from olives, I'm not too sure. But so the Carnaby cockatoos won't go to the olives, but the red tails will.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's not unusual. It's the first year that we've had this happen.
Well, I think what's happening across Western Australia is that the food source for just about anything is becoming less because our environmental protection laws are like, if you put them up to the light, they're like Swiss cheese because so many amendments are made to them. And people can still go and bulldoze out thousands of trees a year. So the pressure is on all our fauna that their food, their natural food source is disappearing very quickly. And that's why they're going to other trees that are not their usual native fodder.
Okay, and that's another thing I was worrying about, or not so much, but inquisitive about. They actually have a young bird on tow, which I thought was a bit out of season.
No, the young cockatoos are out and about now. Because there's little Carnaby babies that are out and about. So
there you go.
Right. Interesting.
There you go. Okay. So, and I just thought I'd phone in and just let you know on that particular thing that's unusual, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll probably, we'll see more of that the more forest we lose, basically.
Thank you for calling, Sue. Alex is in Esperance. Hi, Alex.
Hi.
Hello,
what's your
Alex.
Question for Sab?
I am helping my mum clear her garden out, and there's armillaria all through her garden.
Oh.
It's devastating. Yeah, there's a big gum tree that's dying and lots of things are dying.
Yeah.
But we want to plant new things, but we want them obviously to be armillaria resistant. What's some good things to plant?
That is the $60 million question. Now, this is where we need Rods to chime in, because armillaria is a fungus.
Okay.
I do not know of anything that armillaria would not touch. But for all our little mycologists out there, I know that UWA did extensive research on armillaria and how far it spreads and what could be done. So I just don't have the information on that, so I can't really answer that question. But because we have such a wonderful, splendid scientific audience out there, the listening audience.
Yes.
Someone out there, particularly if anyone has done research on armillaria and if they know of a list that exists somewhere on armillaria resistant plants, we will make sure we get that to you, Alex.
Okay, yes, I would love that.
Yeah, so if you stay online, we'll get beautiful, yep. our beautiful producer, Ash, to get your number. And if anything comes up, then I will make sure that you get it.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex, and thank you for
Alex.
Helping Mum.
Yeah, maybe we need a because we often get questions about our malaria, and I don't know of anything that that controls it or plants that are resistant to it. So we really do need to bring an expert in.
Maybe we could try for that one of these weeks. Steve is in Marmion. Stephen.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you, ladies.
Oh.
I've got a bit of a citrus orchard going, but the leaves of all the oranges and lemons are all yellow, and I need to know what's the best stuff to get to get some nutrients into them to make them go green again.
Okay, so a couple of things there. In winter, you will find that a lot of the citrus trees will go a bit yellow because the weather pattern is changing. They have usually had a big fruiting session, so there it's like, you know, if someone made me do a two-hour gym session, I'd fall on the floor and probably half die and not have any energy left. So the same with trees. So what you need to do is you need to ensure that the nutrients you're putting on the tree can be uptaken by the root system of the tree, and that's to do with fungi in the ground that attaches itself to the plants. So you need to go and get a solution of something that's got seaweed and humates in it, and I'll give you a hint, makes things go very fast. So that you're going to pour that around, and then you're going to apply your, I would put in liquid fertilizer, and then you're going to put in your granular fertilizer. So you can get, liquid sort of a fish-based fertilizer, and then it means that you've made the ground around the tree able to, for the tree to uptake the nutrients that you're putting on. So a bit of compost around the base of the tree as well.
Would Rooster Booster help?
Yep, it will, but it, you'll find that it doesn't have all the micro elements in it.
Okay.
So it'll have a fair bit of nitrogen, but you'll need things like iron, magnesium, manganese, zinc, all those other goodies. So when you go and buy a bag of fertilizer, have a look at the back and it will have exactly what's in it. If it doesn't have any trace minerals in it, it's not a good fertilizer.
Okay, thank you for that. And one last thing, ladies. I've also got a 25-year-old juniper.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful plant. We've got several of them, but one of them is starting to die back and getting worse as time goes on.
Mm.
And I'm worried that it might go to the other ones and I'm hoping I can save it. I don't want to.
Is it dying? Is it a branch at a time that's dying? And is there any cracking and weeping of red sort of?
Yeah, there is.
Okay,
yeah.
So it may actually have the canker. Now, there you've got to use the same stuff that they use for dieback on trees. So if you go to your nursery, they will have the product for you. It's phosphorus acid. So you're going to spray your juniper. I would spray all of your junipers with it, all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And get onto as soon as it stops raining.
Okay. Good luck, Stephen.
Thank you very much. Bye, ladies.
Bye.
1-300-221-025 is the number to call, as Anna has done, and Anna is in Karrinup. Hi, Anna. What's your question for Sab?
Good morning, ladies. Thanks for your motivation for gardening today.
Oh, well, you know, we're always motivated here, aren't we, Amber?
You are.
Love it.
Well, I was in at 9, but Amber's up from 4:30, so it's easy for me to be chirpy when I arrive at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm not brain dead.
just a quick question. Society garlic, is it just there for its pretty flowers and funky name, or can you actually harvest it?
No, do not harvest it, Anna. You'll be.
Oh, my husband's right.
You are not. No. Maybe we need another group that we can form to go, oh God, my husband was right. one of those.
It's never going to be about pruning, though, is it?
Never, never, never.
So you can't
eat it. It's vile.
I'm so sorry to be the bearers of bad news.
I'll just enjoy the pretty flowers.
Yeah.
Have a lovely day.
Is he listening?
I don't know. He's away at work at the moment.
Hopefully he's not listening.
You don't even have to tell him.
No.
That's right.
Thank you, Anna. That was brilliant.
Thanks, ladies.
Good luck. See ya. Chloe is in the Mup of Manjum.
Yes.
How are you, Chloe?
Very good. How are you this morning, ladies?
We're champion.
Yep.
Of course you are. My lovely mother-in-law gave me two orchids that I was admiring.
Yeah, cymbidiums.
Okay. So she divided them and gave me one of each. Now, I was curious because, I would like them not to look ratty.
Oh, no, that's all right. Now, all orchids will go through a ratty stage. That's quite all right.
When they flower, once they flowered from that section, they seem to swell up at the bottom, which I'm sure is some process they're doing.
Yep.
And then their sort of leaves die off. Can I cut those leaves off?
Sure can.
So that's the
and that makes them look tidier and lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely then, you can.
The second one she gave me, I wonder whether it doesn't actually have any new, I don't know if you can see in the picture, they're all sort of doing that. They sort of dry up a little bit once.
Yeah, I don't want you to touch. Yeah, I don't want you to touch that one.
That one. Okay, so keep watering it as I normally would.
Yep.
And then see what happens.
Yep. All right. Absolutely. And there's there's an orchid society in WA. They have a website. There's a Cymbidium group as well. They have great information on there.
I'm sure they would. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, hopefully they'll stay alive, Chloe.
Yeah. Thanks
for calling. 1-300-221-025. What?
I always see people go into horror. When they're given, because, if you get given an orchid, it's usually in a large pot and it's in full flower. And you look at the person receiving it and you can see them going, oh, my God, I know I'm going to kill this. How the hell do you look after this?
Yeah, that's the reason I don't have hydrangeas or orchids. Mm. It's just scenes of death, really.
Oh.
Who have we got now? We've got Ness, who is in the wheat belt. Hello, Ness. Oh, hang on. No, we don't have her yet.
No, we nearly got her. Mini.
Oh, there she
did
is.
Did it. Are you there, we got Ness? You, Ness.
Hello, Ness.
Hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Are you wanting to do a bit of grafting?
Oh, I have a magnificent orange tree that was planted in 1990.
Yep.
And it is loaded with fruit again this year.
Yeah.
I want to get some plants off this tree, but I don't know how to do it.
Okay. So, two things. Some people have the magic touch and they can grow it from a cutting. Most people do grafting. So the best graft, the best and easiest way to do grafting if you haven't done it before is to do bud grafting in the summertime. So from November right through to March.
Okay.
So bud grafting is you get a rootstock that you want to graft it on or an existing very small orange tree that you'll graft it onto. So a bud graft is exactly that. You are going to cut a bud that comes out of the orange tree that you have before it turns into a leaf. Then you are going to do a little smiley face in the graft, in the rootstock. You're going to put a vertical incision and a little smiley face at the end of it. Peel it open and you're going to shove the graft up the wazoo in the little split that you've made. You're going to use that's a technical term, shoving a bud up the wazoo.
There's a lot of reenacting going on. There's a lot of hand signs going on in here.
Google it, YouTube it, because it'll show you exactly what you want to do. Now,
yeah, I have I have done that, but I didn't know what sort of rootstock I should use.
Well, you can. Most people use trifoliata. So if you've got friends that have got a lemon tree and it's gone rogue and it has bloody great big spines on it and it has three leaves, as in trifoliata, that's the rootstock you want. Oh. So you can rip that off their tree because they really shouldn't have it.
I have a lemon tree that's got some of those branches on it.
Beautiful. There's your trifoliata rootstock. Ness. So cut that off, grow it in a pot. So take a cutting of that, put it in a hormone gel, pot it up in a potting mix. It'll develop roots. There's your rootstock. Then you can put the bud on that.
Okay. Perfect. Well,
so
I'll give it a crack then.
Give us a call back and let us know how you got on.
Oh, it's a magnificent tree. It's unbelievable.
Worth grafting.
So old and it just keeps producing and it's just magic.
It's a bit like me, really.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ness.
On you, Ness. Thank you for that. Julie is in South Perth. Hi, Julie. What's your question for Sab?
Yes, good morning. My friend's got a staghorn and it's got too big for the board and it's fallen off.
Mm.
What do I do?
You need a reciprocating saw.
Or
a bread knife.
Okay.
It's a bit harder with a bread knife, like a serrated knife. Okay, so the thing about staghorns is they are so heavy.
Yeah.
And in order to be able to move them, unless you've got a rugby league team on hand to lift it up and rehang it, you have to cut it up, Julie.
Yes.
So you know where the platelets are that come from the fronds? So you cut in between those platelets. The packing at the back, you can actually cut that off as well. If you've got a reciprocating saw, it's very easy to do.
Right.
If you've got a bread knife, bit harder work.
Right, I've got both.
Excellent. Ooh. Oh, well, I'd go with the recip saw.
The Han Hacker.
Han
the
Hacker.
Savvy Stabber.
And then you can remount them on something and move them and put them somewhere else.
Okay.
Now, when you remount them, they actually prefer to be on proper wood,
Not plywood, is that what
not
you
plywood,
mean?
Yeah.
No, it's on a plasticky thing at the moment.
Ooh. Yeah. They prefer wood if you can. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good luck with that, Julie.
Okay, thank you very much.
Get out there, girl. Rose from Nillup says, I have a few Melaleucas around the house. I'm worried they're a fire risk. If so, should I get rid of them or could I just prune them right down to a small bush, says Rose.
Rose, don't get rid of them. Now, depending on what Melaleuca they are, you'll see that they have all that magnificent paper bark. So that isn't that inflammable. Don't get rid of them. Just if you need to prune, you can prune Melaleucas really hard. So
that's what she's asking.
So prune hard. Don't pull them out.
This is a very sad face I'm looking at now.
Like I love Melaleucas.
You've actually made her emotional. On your Rose. No, save the Melaleucas. Eve is in the Brook of Bulls. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Eva.
Eva.
Good morning, Sabrina. I have two questions. One of them is a dwarf avocado or semi-dwarf avocado, which is about 2 meters tall and growing steadily for about 4 years.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, a shoot came out, which is outgrowing the tree. It is nice and straight.
Yes.
And I'm afraid this is the rootstock.
You are right on the money, Eva. You are correct in your assumption. And that is the rootstock. And you need to cut that out because that will take over the entire tree.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. So
my second question is about figs. A couple of years ago, I had issues with scales, and you gave me the tip to actually spray them with neem oil.
Yes.
I didn't have neem oil because Bunnings is far away, so I used olive oil.
Yep.
And it worked just fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that suffocated them as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I apply it night, winter time, I will start to apply it to the trunk so there is no there are no leaves.
Yep.
And I would love to grow from one of them, which is an Adam's black fig.
Yes.
And how do I do it? Because whenever I see birds sowing seeds, magnificent figs are growing.
Yes.
The tree itself, but there is no fruit. But I
that's
would love
right.
to have fruit.
Yeah,
so how do I do it?
You need to take a cutting from your wonderful tree rather than grow it from the fruit, Eva. So this is the perfect time to take hardwood cuttings from your tree. So you can take, so not from the very, very top. Come down about 10 centimetres, 4 inches from the top, and then take a cutting that's a ruler length. Strip all the leaves off and then put those cuttings in potting mix where you have two nodes where the leaves would have come out under the soil. So you need sort of a long, a tall pot, hardwood cuttings the length of a ruler, two nodes under the potting mix, and they will start reshooting this spring. That is the best way for you to get that tree rather than from fruit.
Awesome. Yep. Thank you kindly.
Okay. Thank you, Eva.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Hi, I'm Andy Lee.
And that's Wiz.
Oh, he did it.
And we're back with a new season of the kids' favourite Do Not Watch This Show.
Make sure you're not watching.
Oh, I agree.
Friday, July 3 on ABC iView.
It is that time again.
It is.
Sabrina's musical pick of the week. Pick of the week.
I know you're going to dig this.
Here we go now.
That's some lovely dancing you're doing.
I know. I think I was G'd up this morning listening to the Spice Girls as I was driving in. God, I love the Spice Girls.
How old were your kids back then? Were they little?
Yeah, they were young. Yeah. I used to make them listen to it.
And the movie.
I'd say, let's put the Spice Girls on.
The movie was so good.
I know, it's great.
Richard E. Grant's in it.
I know.
Roger Moore's in it.
It's Roger Moore.
Genuinely funny. Yeah.
It was a crack up.
Yeah.
I thought they were a wonderful, wonderful
phenomenon.
Group. Phenomenon.
They were a phenomenon. Yeah. So you're in a dancing mood.
So
because
I was
of that.
In a dancing mood when I heard that. So
interesting band name. Here.
Yes, yes. Winston Surfshirt. So. We're going to listen to Winston Surfshirt. Now, this is one of the Triple J Like a Virgin jobbies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and people get cross with me when I put on versions of a really popular song because they don't like other people singing it. Anyway, this is Kiss Me More
nice.
By Winston Surfshirt.
We hug and yes, we make love and always just say goodnight.
Always say goodnight.
We cuddle short.
Ah, Winston Surfshirt there with, what was it called? Kiss Me More. Cover cool. by of Doja Cat's
yeah,
song. You are just, you're too cool for school, Sabrina
Kiss
Hahn.
Kiss Me More. Sometimes the kids walk in and they'll go, what the hell are you listening to? I went, listen up, children.
Where do you get your new music from?
I don't know. I listen to all sorts of music on different radio stations.
Okay, there you go.
So I hear, and some of the stuff I hear I'd really love to play, but it's a little bit too much out there.
Okay.
I found some Icelandic.
Oh.
Icelandic.
Well,
what would you call it? Kind of folk songy type stuff where they, recorded seals and things as well in the. I thought probably going a bit too far.
Join the 102.5 ABC Perth Knitting for Newborns appeal. Every stitch is made with someone special in mind. The Women and Infants Research Foundation needs hand-knitted items for mums and babies in need. Text KNIT to 0437 221025 to find out how to help.
102.5 ABC Perth.
Where Roots and Shoots is unfolding with questions about
Armillaria.
We're going to try and get an armillaria expert on. That's one of our goals for next week. Cheryl's been very patient. Hello, Cheryl in East Frio. What goes on with your poinciana?
Yeah, hi. Oh. Good to hear that you've been spiced up this morning, girl.
Yes, girlfriend.
I have to say, it doesn't take a lot to spice me up. I must have been a pain in the bum as a kid. I would have been like one of those wind-up toys, you know, you put them on the ground, they go, except I would have been leaping off walls as well.
You would have been a joy and a delight.
Anyway, yeah, Cheryl, what can we do for you?
We inherited a poinciana street tree when we moved our house.
Yeah.
And it had two sort of branches.
Yeah.
It's about, I think it's young. It's about 2.5 metres high.
Yeah.
And when we had a green pickup a month ago and we put our green stuff out, the council picked up the green stuff and took half of a branch of the poinciana.
No!
Rude.
Oh, Cheryl.
I'm not sure if we can sort of, it's a bit lopsided now.
Yeah. Now,
I'm not sure we can, you know, sort of prop it up.
Yeah. I want you to do two things. I want you to prop it and prune it. Now, the problem is it's very unbalanced. So you need, so the other side of the tree that the council were good enough to leave on the tree for you, you're going to have to prune that back by 50%.
Oh, okay.
Now, don't do it now because it's a bad time of the year to prune
won't
them.
Drop. Yeah, because of cold.
Yeah. So wait until spring. Now, poincianas typically don't reshoot until about October, November, so, but you can prune it back in September.
Okay, so prune the right hand part of it back in September.
Yep. And you may need to prop it in between.
Yeah. All right. Oh, thank you. So we're disappointed. It was so lovely.
Oh, Cheryl, I know it breaks your heart. Sad.
And we did lodge it with the council that this has happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously they couldn't do anything about it. So.
No, because it's gone now. But, look, they reshoot really well and they do balance up. I lost half of my poinciana in a big storm probably 5 years ago and I just pruned the hell out of it and it's a beautiful tree now.
Oh, good. Thank you for that.
Okay, Cheryl, keep the faith.
Thanks, Cheryl. We have a friend of the show, Herb from Hobia, into the room.
Hey,
Herb, how's it going?
Oh, good morning, laddies. Pretty good. Yeah, looking down at the dam here on that's on Mahogany Creek here in Hobia.
Yeah, is it looking full?
Yeah, it's not. It hasn't overflowed yet.
Right.
So it used to overflow in autumn, two months ago, and the climate change is easily observable once you live out in the bushland.
Nah,
yeah,
once you've got your eye in, Herb.
Mm.
Yes, well, that's good. You got some rain, but you've got a carnivorous plant that's not terribly hungry, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, at a girlfriend's place in Byford, and
I love it when people talk about their boyfriends and girlfriends and they're older than 20. It's beautiful, Herb. Do you hold hands?
That's right, yes. I'm one of the living fossils.
Do you hold hands?
Yeah.
I love that even more.
Oh, people say, oh, how cute is that?
No, it's not cute. It's not. It's got nothing to do with cuteness, Herb. It's got to do with humanity and love, and it fills me with absolute joy.
Me too, which is why I had some applause for you.
We love
because
you,
that one time when I asked you if your name wasn't Herb, what herb would you be? You said Basil. Honestly, Herb, I love it when you come.
Herb's a clever man and obviously highly attractive to the ladies, even in his latter years.
Yeah, what's your girlfriend's name, Herb?
Eileen.
Oh, that's a beautiful name.
I think she needs a herbaceous name as well.
I think she does. Well, she could be irisine, which is a beautiful little plant.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, anyway. Well,
she loves this little carnivorous plant.
Yes.
But she would like it more if it had its little insect-eating apparatus looking really good.
Yes.
It's in quite tough conditions in a small little container.
Yep.
We're careful not to overwater it.
Yep.
and it just keeps on looking too happy with big fat green leaves and almost no little tiny jugs at all.
Okay. So they don't produce jugs all year round, but the thing that the jug carnivorous plants need the most is humidity. So don't feed them fertilizer for a start. I would go and get some sphagnum moss to put around the top. They need to be in a pot that has a tray underneath so that the water sits in the tray underneath, which increases the humidity. They need morning light, so they need morning sun. They need it nice and warm, and you must protect them from the wind.
All right.
Can you do all that for her, Herb?
Well, I could have a look at putting, getting it relocated to the east side of the house where it gets the morning light but not the evening. But, we've got a sunroom and that's where it gets a bit of dappled afternoon sunlight. So
Yep.
That's on the west side. So we just have to be a bit more cunning about repositioning so it gets a little bit less light in the afternoon.
Yep. And no fertilizer. Otherwise, it'll go, I don't need to catch bugs. And you've also got to make sure that there are bugs about.
Right. Yeah. Well, we do have lots of little birds, especially since we got rid of the cats. The cats just died of old age.
Happens to us all, Herb.
Yeah, there wasn't any heavy metal therapy or anything.
Herb, that was a very nice backpedal you just did then. I did enjoy that. Herb, have you been assisted to your satisfaction?
Yes, yeah. This gives me something to work with.
Totally good.
All highly doable.
Oh, good. And give our love to your Eileen. Irene.
Thank you.
Bye. Billy is in Narrogin. Hi, Billy.
Hey, girls.
G'day, Billy.
Got a little issue with the gazania, the beautiful weedy.
Yeah, South African, weed. Yeah. Yep.
I've had some friends say, look, Dave, from Gidgee, get up, and my mate's wife, she sort of fell in love with him. I sort of explained to her that you spread it through Gidgee, get up, you might not get any love.
Nah, in fact, you probably get a lot of people complaining. So you do not want that. You know, the other thing is, Billy, we have so many beautiful Australian daisies. Why don't people plant them? You can buy them from seed and just scatter them in and they come up every year.
That's the answer I was looking for because she sort of wanted to, plant them there and I said, hey, that was your...
No gazanias, absolutely no, and no other South African daisy plants because they spread like wildfire. So go Australian daisies. There is John Colwell actually started up a business propagating them, and that's been taken over by Susie McDougall, and she has a huge range. Because she did research on Australian daisies. So if you stay online, Billy, and we give you back to beautiful Ash, I'll get your number and I'll tell you where they can get the seed from.
Oh, that'd be fantastic because they sort of had never seen it, and we happened to have an early spring by the look of it because there's massive patches of them across the road from my place.
They're such a hard thing to get rid of.
They are. I think they were planted as a ground cover for drought areas, and yeah. they've just sort of stick and not very well loved. But they are a good pollinator, but they're an issue.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I'm with you, Billy. So don't worry. I'll get that info to you.
Thanks, Billy. Oh, microphone on. Russell is in Guelph. Hi, Russell.
Good morning, ladies. How are we today?
Yeah, good, Russell.
A little bit boggy, a little bit witchy. A little bit boggy.
Yeah, but we're in a bog with others, and that's the most important thing.
It's a communal
thing.
Bog.
Yep.
Have you pruned too much ever in your life, Russell?
Yeah,
I can tell.
You're talking to somebody who doesn't regard anything as pruning too much. So.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yep.
Can you tell me about that?
Nothing's died after I pruned it.
Oh, well, that's good.
I detect your slight defensiveness in your tone.
No, I was actually thinking of my next-door neighbour that I had for a while, and we hadn't actually met them. I'd heard their noises next door of motorbikes and things.
Oh, yeah?
And my wife heard a chainsaw going in the backyard.
Yeah.
And she popped her head over the fence, and he saw my wife looking at him and stopped the chainsaw and came over and introduced himself. And the wife said, "Oh, what are you doing?" He just smiled and said, "Gardening." He did everything he did was full on.
Oh, wow.
Some call it gardening.
He's probably not your sort of gardener.
I don't think so, Russell. I don't think so. Now, what can we do for you, for a man who does prune but doesn't kill stuff?
Okay. I don't know if you remember an old fella popped around to your place one day.
He did, with a whole pile of boabs.
The boabs.
So, The ones that I kept, I took off over east for 3.5 months of mucking around and seeing Victoria.
Yeah.
And I left them with my lovely daughter-in-law, who did a great job of looking after them.
Cool.
One died. I gave her four. One died.
Yep.
But several more popped up in their little pots.
Oh, yeah, because they can take 2 years and they still grow. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, because the ones that I got, I had another three pop up.
Only three?
No, I had a whole pile, but then, like, months later, another three germinated. Yeah.
So I have got them in a spot where they're out of the rain, which you told me to do, and when the sun shines, I put them out in the sunshine, and I bought one of those little probey things that tells you how wet the soil is and make sure it's not too wet, not too dry, and just right.
Yep.
Is that all I can do at the moment? They're not doing much, but I don't think
they're but they won't. And so you're doing exactly everything right. So keep them out of the rain, keep them out of the wind, water them, you know, once every 3 to 4 weeks. Don't fertilize them. No. Keep them in a nice sort of warm spot. So you're doing everything absolutely correctly, Russell. The reason people lose them is because they get too much water in winter. So you're on the money, my friend.
And how are the ones that you adopted going? Are they
absolutely fantastic. I've got them in their own little hothouse.
I figured they were in good hands. So thank you for looking after them.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Russell.
When can I prune them?
In about 20 years' time, Russell.
I thought maybe 50 years or so.
And not with the chainsaw.
You're a good sport.
You guys have a lovely day.
You too. Thanks, Russell. And even Jandakot points out that it is a good time to mention the plant swap, which is going to be happening at the Perth City Farm. It was such a great event last year.
Was it only
last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
It was such a winner. I loved it.
Mm.
That's going to be happening on the 29th of August at Perth City Farm. So I'm just reading from a written script, so it's not going to sound like me. Are you a gardening enthusiast who wants to grow their plant collection? Do you love listening to Roots and Shoots on ABC Radio Perth Saturdays with Sabrina Hunt?
Yes.
Then it's time to get growing for another Saturday breakfast plant swap at Perth City Farm. Last year's was a huge success. It really, really was. And it's backed by popular demand. So Saturday the 29th of August at Perth City Farm, bring along your healthy extra plants to swap in return for a new plant. It's going to be running from 8 to 10. We will be doing the show live from Perth City Farm. Come say hello, grab a coffee at the cafe and browse the farmers market while you're there. So we're going to start reminding you, get propagating, get planting.
And we'll take, if people are lifting up bulbs, we'll take those as well. And Amber, I saw someone sent in a picture
of
dog vomit slime mold.
Yes.
Because we had the thing about, you know, fungi. So now, some people call it scrambled egg. Don't eat it, but it's a slime mold, so it's not going to do you any harm. Just look at it in awe and wonder and go, wow, I've got that in my garden.
It's got to be symbiotic with something, hasn't it?
Oh, heaps of things. There absolutely.
It's getting in there,
but not
doing
your dog.
Some work.
Hmm?
Yeah, not your dog. Okay. Blah, 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 blah.
Someone wants to know why marri trees are setting flowers and flowering at the moment. We had a heap of rain, Amanda.
There you go, Matt.
That's what happened.
There
you
go.
The seasons are wacko the jacko.
Yeah. Anxiety just goes up. Hello, this is Rosie. Question for Sab about black aphids on my garlic chives. It's pretty bad infestation as I've been away for a couple of weeks and they're getting dangerously close to my garlic crop. Any advice? I tried eco oil and also ordered some predator bugs, but the only thing that's worked is squishing them day and night. How can I break the life cycle?
A cycle with the aphids. Now, the problem with those aphids is the little buggers get down in between the sheath. So if you're going to use a pest oil, you've got to make sure it dribbles down so it runs down the sheath to the base of the bulb. You can just spray with pyrethrum. Make sure there's nothing.
Gay is in Swampy. Hello, Gay.
Hello, Gay. Can you save us?
I beg your pardon?
What's he must have been appalled and he's hung up.
Oh, no.
Was it Gay? Was it?
Was Seth Gay?
Seth Gay. I don't know what's happened here. No.
All right.
Gay's back.
Do mulberry plants lose their leaves at this time of year? Says Sandy and Kutha, which I believe is Karatha.
Yeah, Kutha. Absolutely. Even in Karatha, they're going to lose their leaves because some things need to go into dormancy, unlike our plants, which just grow all year round.
Okay.
They need a little rest.
Steve, little in Pickering sleep. Book, is keen to know if hydrangeas need pruning. Well, you're just bragging that you can grow them enough that they need pruning, Steve.
Yep. So if you've got little buds coming on your hydrangea, you're going to prune now and you're going to prune down to the fattest, roundest buds because anything that's fat and round is full of goodness.
Oh. Now Gay's back with an oleander question. Don't feed it to children.
No. And how far can you prune it?
Hello, Gay.
Hello, Gay.
Yeah, hi. My son's got some 4 metre high oleanders in the house he just bought, and I just wonder how much I can prune them and when.
Okay, so he can prune them at any time of the year, and he can prune them down to 5 centimetres high.
Oh, that's what I was hoping.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Yeah. You can prune oleanders as much as you like. They're extremely difficult to kill if you wanted to. But, no, you can go hard on oleanders. Make sure you wear gloves and also a mask because if you're pruning with a chainsaw, that sap flicks everywhere and you do not want to inhale it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
It's very toxic.
We were highly trained children to not make, to not make tea out of oleander. I was scared of oleanders. There was obviously some parental warnings around the oleander shrubbery.
I've got lots of poisonous plants in my garden. I've got grandchildren and they're still all alive.
Well, that's because you're a good liter.
I am a good liter
of milk. What have we got
I'm
here,
full
then?
Cream, no doubt about that.
Ross in Australia said, I would love to have a few more trees around my suburban garden. My pride and joy is my verge marri tree, well over 20 years old, who gives us tons of saplings who take forever to grow and die quickly as well. We are near the Brunswick River, so lots of bird life. Are there any faster growing nut/fruit bearing trees to plant?
Yes, you can put in jarra, you can put in...
macadamia, because they feed the coffees. Yep,
you can put in macadamias, you can put in beautiful pecan trees if you can water them. You can put in almond trees, all those things the birds absolutely love. You can put in... there's so many other eucalypts you can put in, but if you're looking to feed birds, then I would go the Todtiana, Eucalyptus Todtiana, some of the Melaleucas, Melaleuca viridiflora, macadamias, pecans, and almonds.
Someone has sent us a very beautiful photograph
of a variegated monstera
with matching slippers.
Oh, yeah, it's got slippers on. Oh.
That is the kind of gardening commitment we like to see here on Roots and Shoots. Congratulations.
See, because his or her slippers match the monsteras on the slippers with the monstera
above.
That's
Murray in Kenwick.
Murray.
Muzz.
You're a cracker. That's awesome.
You're a wild man.
He's wild, isn't he?
Wild Muzz from Kenwick. Anya for having, what is it again? Monstera.
He would have paid a lot for those variegated ones.
We will endeavour to get an armillaria expert on next week's show, because that's coming up fairly regularly. That has been this particular edition of Roots and Shoots with Sabrina Hahn and Blamba Cunningham.
Blamba! We'll do it all again next week.
We will. Thanks for playing.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.